When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the true story of a New York City boy with big town hopes and small neighborhood dreams of becoming BFFs with the Real Housewives and other Bravo celebrities. Then, one day, that dream actually came true. Let me take you behind the velvet rope.
Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet robe. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by, I don't even know what to say. I say living legend, fashion icon. And I'm not just saying this because you're sitting in front of me, Mr. Isaac Mizrahi. How are you?
Thank you. Hello, David Yontov. How are you, darling?
I am doing well today. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm starting to lose my mind, but otherwise, you know, holding on to it with, like, you know, my clawing onto it.
Have you been in my brain? Have you been in New York this whole time, or were you?
No, I'm back and forth. I'm in the Hamptons and I'm in New York, mostly in the Hamptons. My husband is mostly in New York, and sometimes he comes here and I go there. But I think we've been sort of snowed in here a little bit in Bridgehampton. We got another snow on Sunday, and by the way, I love the snow. I like wait for snow. I love it, you know. But this year, I don't know why. It's like, you know, among all the other claustrophobic stuff that stops everything, like it's just one more thing that just stops everything. And I don't know. It's the first time in my life I'm going, I wish the snow would go away.
You know? Really? I'm kind of like you. I mean, especially now that we're kind of inside and for this job that I do, I kind of love the snow. You know, I'm just not to sound like, you know, the typical Chelsea gay man, but I light the candles, let it snow, and just let me
work. Yes, exactly. I know. I think that's why we like, I much prefer cold weather. I don't like warm weather. I think, you know, when I was a kid, my mom used to say, like, go outside and play, you know, unless it was like freezing cold or snowing, and then she wouldn't say that. And I didn't like to go outside and play. I like to stay home and sort of make puppets, you know. I mean, that's what I used to like to do. But
which is, you know, you had that creative gene right from the beginning.
Yes.
Well, okay, so I do have some, you know, in the end, I have some quick questions about fashion and all of that exciting stuff. But before we get there, let's talk about this other aspect of your life that nobody knows. Now, I know, because I will admit to you and come out of the closet, I have seen you. I have seen you perform many a time.
Oh,
so
I'm thrilled.
You are back, Isaac, at Cafe Carlyle. You have a series of four shows. And they are
streaming on events at BroadwayWorld.com, and you can get it anytime. The new show is the Leah Delaria show, which starts on Friday the 12th of February, and that goes for a month. So that's exciting. I mean, she's so great, and it's such a good show, I'm telling you. Like, I'm really proud of it.
She is amazing. How did you first get Leah involved? Because I know you've worked with, like, Suzanne Vega, and you worked with Jackie Hoffman
on the series. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Well, you know, I don't know how I met Leah, but I've always known her around town. And then about a year and a half ago or something, or 2 years ago, we ran into each other on a flight home from somewhere, like, and it was like from, like, Indianapolis. Like, it wasn't even from Paris or, like, London, you know, it was from, like, Indianapolis.
That's so funny.
And we kind of bonded. We were sitting together, like, next to each other, and we kind of bonded, you know, had this moment. And then we were leaving and I asked her who made her suit, because she had this really good kind of tailored suit on. She gave me the name of the tailor, and I've been using the tailor and sort of like keeping in touch with her about that. And then I, you know, the thing about Leah that no one knows is that she has this club in Provincetown, or maybe you do know that. It's like a sort of a cabaret. And the incredible jazz musicians that I work with, some of them work in Provincetown at her club. And one of them, this guy, Benny Benack III, who's the greatest trumpet player like in recent history, he's so great. And he was like, oh, you should play that club. So I was sort of working on a date for that. And then all of a sudden COVID happened. And I emailed her, I was like, oh, you know, I'm doing this series. Would you be a guest? Like within seconds, it was like, yep, totally, I'm there, you know?
Wow.
So, and it was just so fun. It was so fun to work with her and see a person besides, you know, see other people in a room, you know, it was really a great thing.
How much do you love Cafe Carla? Like the room is just so, right? It's special.
I love it. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, it's like, I'm not sorry. I mean, I don't know why I'm sorry, but I love it, love it, love it so much to the point where I just want to do that for the rest of, like, I want to become like the Elaine Stritch of the Jews or something. You know, I want to just like live upstairs and just come down every night and do a show. What a great life.
That would be, did you ever, cause I've had these moments. Did you ever think of moving uptown, like up to that?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes. Darling, every time I play that room and I'm in that room preparing, I think like, darling, what's wrong? Like, I could so get used to this, you know,
100%.
Like one bedroom, small, like one bedroom unit, you know, I come in and sort of maybe redecorate just a little tiny bit, you know, and then just move there and you call room service when you need it. And the maid comes in every day and it's like, you know, they kind of keep it fresh and how great, you know, it's like Dorothy Parker or something. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like if you told me 20 years ago, cause I've always been West Village or Chelsea. If you told me 20
too.
Years ago that I would like really, there's something nice about the Upper East Side and that's where everyone is kind of thing.
I know. Also, like, you know, 20 years ago, there was kind of a reason to be in the Village or, you know, Soho. Not 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 100 years ago, you know, there was a reason to be down here, you know, but at the moment, it's more about this kind of, the city just feels like there are no borders in the city anymore. It's like uptown is downtown. It's reversed. You know, it's like, it's more expensive to buy a place in Tribeca than it is like on Park Avenue and 80th Street. Like, I'm not kidding, you know?
Yeah, which makes no sense.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
How different was it performing, you know, in that room this time, like with your band, like with no audience?
Well, it was definitely different, you know, and in advance, I envisioned it and I kind of worked it around this vision that I had, you know, because me and the band really kind of have a lot of fun and they listen to what I say and they laugh and they say shit and they interrupt. And it's kind of a great scene. Like, you know, our rehearsals are really fun. So I figured like, okay, it's not as big a reaction as a bunch of people like laughing or clapping or something, or, you know, some random person calling out as is wont at that room, but it is a reaction and it will play if it's filmed and edited properly, you know? And so that was the vision that we used going into making the shows. And that's what we got, you know? And it's definitely, you know, and we've actually filmed live shows there with an audience and it's a little bit like, it's a little bit hotter. It's a little bit spicier, but this really works in a way that doesn't, like, this is better in a certain way than that. You know what I mean? There's like benefits and drawbacks.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Do you usually like change your, cause like I said, I've seen you at City Winery. I've seen you at Cafe Carla. Do you usually like change your show? You know, like if you were to do a residency based on like audience feedback? Or, you know, clapping or, you know, laughing or
absolutely.
Whatever.
Absolutely. 100%. And I'll tell you what, like, it's a new set of songs, like every single resonance when I start at the Carlisle. And then I do tours with the show. Usually after I do the Carlisle, then I do other rooms, like, you know, in and around the city, but mostly like out of town, you know, like there are a few cute venues out of town. The last thing I did before COVID was I did this incredible show at the MacArthur Theater, which was so fun. You know, that place in Princeton, and it was packed and it was such a great night. But I do react differently in every single venue. I mean, depending on the size of the venue, you know, there are certain things I feel like I could say at the Carlisle because it's so tiny. It's like 100 people, you know, whereas like the MacArthur is 2000 people. So you can't, before you're going to tell a little story to 2000 people, you go, maybe I should think about this, you know, before I reveal this incredibly like weird kind of funny detail, you know, but then I end up telling it anyway. It's just a matter of how I tell it, you know?
Right. Like, are you more conscious, like, you know, if it's a New York audience or, you know, like sometimes.
Yes. I mean, you know, we, there was this thing last year where we played this great club in Indianapolis, as a matter of fact. And I think that's when I ran into Leah when I was coming up from Indianapolis. It was this great club. And I didn't think, I mean, I didn't think about, this was at the time, like when the world was really, when Trump was president, right? And I do a lot of Trump kind of heavy stuff in the show, you know,
right?
And I come for him and I say stuff and I just say stuff, you know, and it was never a problem at the Carlisle. One night at the Carlisle, there was a woman who was drunk and she said, I like Trump, you know. It was like, oh God, it was like this moment, and it kind of threw me off. But of course, I got right back on my game and we played with it. You know what I mean? We played with it.
I'll admit it. As important as it is for me to eat healthy and put the right nutrients into my body and hydrate, I'm really not great at it. I'm always on the go. I'm never making that a priority, and I'm always hungry. This was a real problem until I discovered 310 Nutrition. I love 310 Nutrition's water hydrators. You just add them to water and they make your water taste so much better. They also have refreshing lemonade mixes. My personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. I love their caramel sundae, their vanilla cake, the shamrock cream. I drink one of these shakes and it totally satisfies my hunger. They're low in fat and low carbs, which I love. They also satisfy my carb craving. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
Oh my God, it's almost Valentine's Day. To help make the day extra special for that extra special someone in your life, head on over to adamandeve.com. When you go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item, you'll get it at 50% off. But since you guys are all my Valentines, I have something even better. At checkout, use the exclusive code ROPE. R-O-P-E. And when you use that, not only do you get 50% off that one item, you'll also get 10 tantalizing free items. First, for your viewing pleasure, you get 6 free movies. Then you get a free mystery pack that includes an item for him, a special toy for her, and something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus free shipping. Yeah. All that, 6 free movies, a mystery pack with an item for him, special toy for her, something you'll both enjoy, and free shipping. So head on over to adamandeve.com and make sure upon checkout to use the code ROPE, R-O-P-E, because without it, you're not going to get all that free Valentine stuff. That's ROPE at adamandeve.com. Check this out, and when you guys enjoy what is sent to you, and you have a great Valentine's Day, well, you can thank me later.
But there we were in Indianapolis, and I wasn't exactly sure like what I was up against. And I know there was some like congressperson in the audience, like this famous congressman from Indianapolis, right? And he was in the audience, and I didn't know if he was Republican or Democrat. I really didn't know. I didn't know that much. And right before I went on, I was talking to the person who ran the venue, and I was like, "You think it's?" And she was like, "Oh yeah, don't worry. You know, like don't worry." And then I went on, and it really wasn't a problem. And I was mostly given this kind of great reception. And then the second night, it was even more packed and even more fun. You know, we did 2 nights there. But you know what I mean. Like, sometimes you just don't know. You just don't know.
And it's easy for someone to say, don't worry, that owns the place or whatever works there. And you're the one standing there with a band behind you in front of all these people.
Exactly.
You know, and you're like, what about, you know, how do you, you know, you mentioned song. How do you, because I know you've done Debbie Harry, you've done My Girl Madonna. Like, how do you choose your songs?
Yes. You know, it's like, I've been doing it for so long. I've been working, I've been working with these jazz musicians for like, I don't know, like over 15 years, if you can believe that.
Wow.
Like, I've known Ben for like almost 20 years. Ben and I started working together like in like 1996 or something. I mean, that's a long time ago, you know? And we've been working on, we have so many songs that we've like charted and rehearsed and with different musicians. And, you know, we can be as spare as a trio, right? Like a jazz combo, or we have as big as like, you know, 7 or 8 pieces. But, you know, when it's just me and Ben, like I call him and I say, oh, you know, I had this idea to slow this down and to make it really funky, or to like speed this up and do it really, you know. And so that's how it gets worked on. I mean, they come to me, songs come to me, either something I hear, you know, like, you know, that song called My Song. This is my song. It's a beautiful song. This is my song. And my husband was listening to it. It's Labi Siffre, right? And I had never heard it before. And I was like, well, what's that? You know, and 2 months later, I was rehearsing that song. You know, that's how that came to me. Because Arnold was listening to it. And I had never heard it before. Or, you know, like I'm in the shower and I'm going like, oh, you know, Madonna, but like totally kind of funking it out in the shower. And then it becomes this like big funk number, you know?
You can do Madonna all day as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, I can.
Have you ever done any Britney?
No, but you know, I should. That's a really good idea. I mean, I haven't really considered it, but it's a really smart, funny thought, Britney.
Because that could be fun. I mean, I don't know if you've
seen it. Thank you for the suggestion.
Right? That could be fun. I mean, it's like, yeah. I just saw the documentary, so it's on my mind. I don't know if you saw the documentary. It's interesting.
I didn't. I have to see it. You know, Britney was never like on my radar the way Debbie Harry was and the way Madonna was. I feel like by the time Britney happened, I might be like, I was in my 30s or 40s or something like that. And I really wasn't that like keenly into pop music as I had been when I was in my 20s and my early 30s, and it was like Madonna or Debbie Harry, like especially Debbie Harry when I was in my 20s, man, that was like, what? You couldn't seat me. I had to be on the dance floor when those songs came on, you know.
I agree.
Same for Madonna. And Madonna, you know, was like this kind of, she was just always in my life in one way or another, whether from afar or, you know, I started to get to know her a little bit and, you know, I kind of know Madonna a little bit. And so, you know, it's like, she's always been there. Madonna's like a staple in our lives, you know, whereas Britney, you know, she's just, it happened at a time when I stopped going out or something.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, I get it. Debbie Harry. I mean, I still like worship the altar of Debbie Harry. And speaking of Cafe Carlyle, did you see Debbie Harry when those shows were?
I did.
I was there every
divine.
Night.
You were?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a huge Debbie Harry fan.
Me too. She's also one of the great people. Like if you ever knew her, she's one of the kindest, most wonderful people. Like really, I mean that. She's special. Really. She's not a crazy diva. I mean, you know, she has aspects of diva about her, but she's really just great.
What's Madonna like, just from someone who kind of knows
also,
her?
Also, really strong and really smart and very polite and lovely, at least to me, always, you know. I think that's because, you know, she's respectful. I think because she works so hard. And she recognizes others who work really hard, you know? So she's very, very respectful, you know? I mean, I can't think of others who have been disrespectful, but you know them when they're, it's like really like you could answer me, you could answer my email, you know?
Well, I was gonna say, well, like you are Isaac Mizrahi, so like that must come with some respect.
Oh no, you have no idea how people just, especially like movie stars can go, oh, they'll get right back to you. And then other times they just let it, like complete ghosting. And I mean, I've never really been this person who's been like best friends. I mean, the closest thing that ever came to that was my relationship with Sandra Bernhard. I feel like she's my sister, you know, like I could call her about anything and I could email her about anything. But it's like, you know, there are movie stars out there with whom I've had dealings and, you know, I'll email them something and they'll get back to me and then I'll email and ghost. You know, it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's not happening. You know, it's a crazy funny thing. It's just, it's, I guess it's their prerogative. I have never activated that option. I always like to get back to someone, whether it's like, hey, you know, I thought about this and I don't think I can do it, and thank you for asking, you know. But I think so. As a movie star, though, you're just granted this kind of, you know, this kind of thing where you don't have to get back to people.
I have to admit, when I started the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast, I had no idea how I was going to do all of this on my own. And I immediately found Fiverr Business. The graphic that you see when you listen to Behind the Velvet Rope every day, that was done by a Fiverr freelancer. I love Fiverr Business because they bring you the team you need with freelance talent that you can absolutely count on. And it's all managed from one easy dashboard. Without them, I wouldn't be able to do this. I have a whole team behind me. And hey, speaking of teams, did you guys catch Fiverr's new commercial during the big game? Well, I did, and it was great. I love how you open that garage door and there's this whole world behind it. I mean, that's really what Fiverr stands for. I may seem like one person, but listen, I turn to them for all my freelance needs. Copywriting, web design, music. They do greeting cards, life coaches. It is literally a one-stop shop. And what I love about it is I never feel lonely. I feel like I have all these colleagues, which I do. And what I also love is that you can use the same freelancer over and over. If you like them, you can keep going back to the same person. So you don't have to retrain people, and it's all managed by their wonderful, amazing business success managers. They find the right freelance talent for you and make this process so easy. There's no more scattered feedback. Things are not all over the place. It is a very organized, streamlined process. I don't know how I would run this podcast without Fiverr Business. Listen, collaborating online hasn't been this easy since, I think, ever. And right now you can sign up for Fiverr Business absolutely free for the first year. Get one free year and save 10% on your purchase of Fiverr Business with the promo code VELVET. Just go to fiverr.com/business, F-I-V-E-R-R. Fiverr.com/business. And don't forget promo code VELVET, and you will get first year for free and get 10% on your purchase of Fiverr Business. Sign up now. Have you ever met someone that's been just downright rude to you? Like,
I mean, I'm sure I have. And I mean, I can't think of a story about anyone who's been totally rude. But I have, you know, I mean, I have for sure. Yes.
What about, you know, speaking of Madonna, just because she is my queen, and Debbie Harry, like, do you think Madonna gets a lot of, you know, like, she's this 2021 Madonna is not the Madonna, you know, that we grew up with, no yes. shade, but like, what do you think now of her, style? I mean, she gets a lot of flack for her Instagram experiences.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that's so great about her, though, that you can't fault, you know, it might not be politically correct, but it's correct for her, you know? And she doesn't hold back. She shows us exactly what's on her mind. And I value that so much more than I do someone who tempers and understands how to manipulate, you know? Like, that's always been the great thing about Madonna, is that what you see is what you get. You know, she's not gonna fuck around with you, right? And so, like, you know, this happens right now. I don't know if you watched that Fran Lebowitz thing on Netflix. Did you watch it?
Pretend No.
It's a City. You need to watch it because she says so many smart things. And she says this one thing about social media, which is like, you know, someone will post on your Instagram, or like, not really on your Instagram, but on your Twitter for sure. Like, hey, I hate your haircut. I'm coming there with a shotgun to blow your head off. Like, that's how people communicate on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, you've been there, honey. We've all been there on Twitter, where you get trolled for no reason, you know? And so, like, the good thing about Madonna is she doesn't give a fuck. You know, she just, she understands that it's about communication still. It's not about, like, you know, like, I love you, or I'm coming there to blow your head off. It's neither with her. It's like, oh, here's what I did Christmas Eve, you know? Thank you. Right. And maybe it offends 600,000 of her followers, but the other 3 million are fine, you know? And they like it. They appreciate it, you know?
And like, so, to your point, I think she's being her authentic self. This is the point of the life that she's in, you know, and she gets age shamed more than her contemporaries.
Well, that's just, I mean, you know what? That was like a joke in my show. I was like, I was thinking about that. Like, it's fine if it's you know, all of those kids who get like body shamed or sexuality shamed or something. And I wonder about like us old fucks, you know, who, like, where's that GoFundMe page? Where's that kind of, you know, AIDS rally? Seriously. Where is it? Yeah. Where's that TV special on all the channels? Right.
It's
we
true.
Are the friends to the old fat people, you know?
And like, I never understood. It's like, okay, everyone that's shaming you is going to be there if they're lucky. And the alternative is that you're dead. So I never understand the age shame.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's true. It's like, you will be here one day and you will wish that you were kinder.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, I feel like communication is like the big ticket, you know, like you have to ignore the communication of social, that kind of cut and dry communication on social media, like emojis, you know, I love an emoji, but that kind of reduces everything to like a press of a keypad, you know, whereas like, I think dialogue is a really, really important thing. And older people understand that. And I'm scared that like younger people don't get this, you know? And that's what scares me a little bit though. I mean, what there are millions of things that younger people understand that I don't understand. So like, I don't want to sound like one of those old people going like, oh, and I was your age, blah, blah, because I don't do that. I don't say that, but I do worry about this kind of dialogue thing, you know, this dialogue thing. I do. I worry about it.
That makes sense. Would you ever cover, because I mean, I'm not, I have no idea of some current music. You know, I talk Madonna.
Right.
Oh. I try, but like, would you ever, like, do you cover current music that the kids listen to?
You know what I would cover in a second is Billie Eilish, because I love her. Now, she is such a good artist, right? I think she's a great artist. I mean, I would totally cover Wet Ass Pussy, but it's been covered to death. So like, my take on Wet Ass Pussy is not going to matter, you know?
Right.
I was going to, like, within the first week and a half, I was sort of like thinking about it. And then my husband was like, you're a little late. That's another thing about, you know, Instagram and like, you know, social media is like, if you wait, you're too late. And if you do it quickly, sometimes it's a mistake, you know? And so, and that's honestly like getting back to that thing about Madonna and how she just posts shit. Good for her. You know, like she just posts it. She understands the repercussions. I need to take a page out of her book.
Me too. My Instagram is very, you know, it's not all pretty
and
happy. I think about it before I put it up there. I'm like, is everything spelled correctly? This is going out.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I mean, I posted a picture of Kamala and Joe on Inauguration Day it was a beautiful picture of them just kind of like high-fiving. And it said something like, you know, it's about to get much better, and hashtag Joe, hashtag Kamala, hashtag rejoice, right? And I had about 1,000 unfollows and tens of really ugly, ugly things that were said that I just deleted. And like, at this point, I'm deleting it. At this point, there has to be a difference between, you know, between freedom of speech and a kind of regulation where things just get very ugly and almost violent, and they shouldn't be tolerated. You know what I mean? And I'm not exactly sure who makes that decision. On my Instagram page, I make that fucking decision, you know?
Right, seriously.
I don't know on Instagram who makes that decision or on Twitter who makes that decision, but they better get someone in there. They better get a really great panel of people in there.
It's becoming...
Or it's going to go, yeah.
It's getting scary that people, like, I have people on my show, and it's not about me, it's about the guest. And like, I'll have a guest that says one thing, and it's like, I didn't say it. I didn't fucking say it. Like, I sat there. So why are you coming after me? And I don't censor people. People can think whichever way they want.
Right. Except if you had a Nazi come on your show saying, I think we should kill all Jews.
Right.
Would you post that?
No. So then I think the world, like, that's, I was just talking about this the other day, like, that's where it's like hate and racism, that is cancel culture. And then just having an opinion.
Forget about cancel culture. That is just hate and
right.
racism.
That's
and
hate
that
and racism.
Be, that has to be regulated. That totally. Has to be regulated. You know?
Right. Yeah. And then short of that, like people having opinions on, I mean, since when in the world did you wake up and say, I want to be surrounded by everybody that has the same opinion as me?
I don't
that's
know.
That's a boring life.
I don't know. And like, that's like, I remember a few years ago, I thought, you know, maybe I'm going to move to Europe because in England anyway, they have such a better idea about this kind of discourse. But recently, I don't think there's anywhere in the world you can go because of social media. It's all kind of reduced to that now, you know, and that's what I worry about. I really do. I worry about it.
It's something.
Can we solve it? Do you think we can really solve it? You know, David.
I have no idea, but I feel, I don't know. It's almost like we blinked an eye and got here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
How did this happen?
I don't know. How did it happen? And now it's happening. So it's like, you know, I have friends of mine going, oh, I don't do Instagram. I don't. And I'm like, well, good for you. I do. I find it mostly amusing, you know?
Right.
And I think if you're not into it, you're definitely like blind to something. And you know, I get it. It's not like everybody has to be vegan, you know. It's not like everybody right. has to be, you know, sort of Buddhist, you know. I mean, those are things I admire. I'm not exactly vegan or Buddhist, but I admire it, you know. You see what I'm saying? It's not like
yeah.
I want the entire thing, but I do think that, like, you know, we have to consider this, you know.
I mean, maybe it's because I'm a Gemini. Like, I can separate, like, I'm not going to cancel you because I like your art. I don't necessarily need to like your value. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to agree with everything. I just don't understand. To me, it's very separate. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yes.
That's just me.
I know.
What about, because, you know, your show is so great because it's not just singing. You include, like, yeah. your shtick and your comedy.
Yes.
So, like, you know, your comedy and, like, little bits are pretty current. Like, how do you stay up on pop culture?
Oh, I mean, how do you not stay up on pop culture, right? I think I do ascribe to my kind of, my social media, not exactly addiction, but my social media, like I regard it a good deal.
Yeah.
And it does, that's one thing about it. It will keep you abreast of what's going on in the world. You know, I mean, I have this thing about, like, you know, about how I'm a little lazy. Like, sometimes I look at it and I don't read it. I just look at the pictures, and that can be really dangerous. 'Cause, like, sometimes, you know, if it's like, if you see like three pictures in a row of Cheetah Rivera or something, you think she died, because isn't that what people do? They post pictures of Cheetah Rivera if she dies.
Right.
And I'm about to post a picture of, like, RIP, we love you, Cheetah. And then I realize that, you know, she's working on a show in quarantine, which is going to, you know, like, they're going to do workshops the minute they're going to start. And it's like, oh, wait, she didn't die. You know what I mean? It's hilarious.
Yeah.
You have to be careful. Thank God Cheetah Rivera didn't die. Thank God.
That would not be, you like go down that rabbit. No, I get
no,
it.
No, you can. Yes.
Well, I mean, speaking of pop culture. So, you know, let's just face the fact that the Kardashians are, like, one of the biggest things in pop culture. Well, you know, I mean, so while I was going to say, go on.
I'm not so mad at that because, you know, I mean, there's always been madcap heiresses, you know? And it's just a different day. So there's, like, you know, there's streaming and television and media. There's just much more of it. And so there are more people buying into that license, you know? Whereas, like, if you were Gloria Vanderbilt, right? And you were poor little Gloria, happy at last, you know, I bought into that, you know, totally, totally,
right.
You know? And of course it was a different thing because, like, the Kardashians, they espouse a kind of pop culture thing, whereas Gloria Vanderbilt was trying to be a painter, you know. But then, you know,
right.
thank you, she did a line of jeans. Remember that, like, the Gloria Vanderbilt
yeah.
jeans. When I was a kid, no, you're too young, darling. You do not remember the Gloria Vanderbilt jeans, honey. I remember, like, there was a bunch of windows at Saks Fifth Avenue in, like, the 1970s when I was, like, a tween. And I remember going by that thinking, okay, well, shouldn't these be like Jeffrey Bean, these windows, or like Phil Blass? But instead, it's like, you know, these front windows, all Gloria Vanderbilt jeans. It was scandalous, you know?
Wow.
So there you go. Thank you, Kardashians. That's your spiritual mother, Kim and Chloe.
Kind of.
Yes.
Well, what about that? That's my next question. Like, you know, you're a fashion legend. Like, what about, you know, people like Kim, you know, like with Skims and KKW Beauty and Kylie?
Oh, yes. I mean, I have to say, like, you know, I really don't, I don't watch them as much. I don't not watch them. I don't like veto them or something the way some people might. And I don't adore them the way others might, you know. I think I have a healthy interest in the Kardashian family. I love the one who's the model. Her name is
Kendall.
I love her because I feel like she, well, I mean, at least her body has maintained that kind of, like, you know, the other ones have all this amplification, and I cannot deal with it. Like, I love them and I love Cardi B and I love, but the amplification, like when you make your ass that big, it just, I go like, okay, that's just not real. Like, I don't know who finds that attractive.
You know, like, it's just it so more fake. Natural.
I do. I like it more natural. I love little titties. I love them. I think little titties are gorgeous as, like, you know, medium-sized titties and massive titties. Like, they're all good, you know? I like it. I'm a breast man. I love breasts.
Really?
And I love legs. Oh, yes, darling. Absolutely. I love them. They're beautiful things. And so when you amplify them to that extent, I think, like, well, who's turned on by that? You know it's fake. You know it's fake, right? Like, what if some guy had this massive dick that was fake? It's fake, you know? I'm sorry.
You like all natural.
I do. I don't believe in God. I believe in nature. You know, nature can really supply. Like, it all turns you on if it's right. And you're a Gemini, so you understand what I'm talking about. I'm a Libra, so I think the air signs, like, you know, they kind of see a different perspective, the air signs.
Yeah, like,
it's more cerebral. Yeah.
Yeah, like I could talk myself into things.
Yeah, you know? The idea has to be right, you know.
Yeah.
The idea has to be right. Like, I could talk myself into a fetish. I don't really have a fetish. I always wished I could have a fetish because it makes it just easy. You know, you go to that club and you're scoring that night, you know. But I've been convinced. I've tried stuff, you know, SNMBD, whatever that stuff is. I tried it ad nauseum because I thought, like, come on already, you know. And it is. It's very interesting three times with the same person. But then it's like, you know, I'm bored. What else you got up there, you know?
Really?
what other shit have you got up there? I mean, I'm sorry. I only wish that I could, like, be into, like, infantilism, where every time I put on the diaper, I just get an erection. You know, I just never found it. I never found it.
Because then it's easy, right? Like, it's your go-to, and that's it.
Yeah, that would be so amazing to develop. And, you know, it's kind of how I think about other stuff. Like, you know, I write and I sing and I make clothes, and I have a very short attention span, David. You know, I do.
Well, a lot of really brilliant creative types do.
And yet, there are a lot of brilliant creative types and critics who will just go, like, yeah, you do a lot of things. Congratulations. You're a polymath. Wonderful. You know, like, now let's talk about the real art being made by people who are obsessed with, like, one thing, you know.
Right.
And I love those people. Like, I love a good, you know, a good beautiful minimalist painting. I love that so much, you know. And those people who just are obsessed with, like, one piece of string or one pebble, you know.
Yeah,
I love it. It's just not me. I don't do that, you know. And I wish it was more okay for us polymaths, you know.
Well, I think even in, like, your clothing, like, you could see that you're more that type. I think, yes. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what about, because, like, you mentioned Kendall, like, the, you know, you used to work with, like, you know, Linda Evangelista, like, modeling. Yeah. Like, what do you think of, like, Kaia Gerber and Kendall, like, this new Gigi Hadid, like, this new crop of models?
What I like about them is that they're so non-specific, you know. They are so sort of, I like the fact that they are a lot of different women. Like, if you look at Gigi Hadid, she looks so different in every single picture, and she works different parts of her own kind of personality. Whereas, like, you know, with Linda, man, she stood there, and you know, yeah, it's one day she had yellow hair and the next day she had orange hair, and the next day she had like brown hair, you know. But that was Linda. That was Linda. She had those bones, and she made clothes look like that. Lucky, because nobody had bones like Linda, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean about Gigi Hadid and Kendall. It's like, one minute they're working the kind of bosomy thing and they're doing this kind of push-up thing and sexy kittens, you know, and the next minute they're like straight boards, like showing fashion in Paris, you know. I just like that about them.
And that's got to be hard, right? Like that's got to
be
hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, any person navigating through any world at this point is difficult, you know? Any person doing anything, forget about succeeding at anything. And I feel like we should forget about success right now. I feel like anybody just barreling through their lives right now, doing anything with any kind of focus, you know? Even just fooling around on social media, that is a massive, or it might be a massive accomplishment, you know?
I mean it. Yeah, I would agree. What about, you know, like, there's a lot of celebrity, you know, what about, there's a lot of critics for celebrity, you know, like Posh Spice. I mean, I think of Mary Kate and Ashley, Madonna at H&M, even the Kardashians, Kanye.
Well,
like,
you know,
what
I'm
do you think
exactly
of all the
sure.
celebrities?
I think when it's good, you know, like Sarah Jessica Parker makes these amazing shoes. I don't know how that happens, but they're great, you know? I mean, I do know how it happens because she's great. She's got a smart eye and she's been wearing them and, you know, looking at them and studying them her whole life. So she understands a good shoe. But like, it's funny coming at it from the other way, like starting as a fashion designer and trying to break into show business. It's not as easy. I'm telling you,
really?
Some reason they don't want to hear me. They don't want to hear a fashion designer like tell jokes. You know, they don't want to read a screenplay by a fashion. They just don't, you know.
Huh.
It takes more of a minute to convince people that you can start as a fashion designer and work your way into show business. Whereas like showbiz, like, you know, like Sarah Jessica or Pharrell or like you said, like, you know, any of those.
Kanye.
I'm looking at people like, yeah, Kanye, my goodness. I mean, that's a huge apparel business.
And it has the respect, I think, right?
Yes. People... Oh my God. Anna Wintour goes to that show. She doesn't go to my show anymore. I don't have shows anymore. But you know, it's like she would much rather go to his show than my show. If I had a show, she would probably go to his show and not mine.
So stuff like that doesn't make you mad? Like Anna with Kim and Kanye?
No. It doesn't. Only because that's a whole other trip that they're on. That's magazine publishing and... That's a whole other trip, and they stay relevant in however they see fit, you know? And I do not comment on that. I don't comment on it.
Is it easier, though, now for you? Like you mentioned, as a fashion designer, like you've done, you know, like you've done, I mean, forget about like Unzipped and, you know, you've done your...
Oh, yes, darling.
You've done it all.
TV show and, yeah, whatever. I've appeared in movies and everything, and now it's like it's slowly happening. I mean, listen, COVID has put a damper on everything, but... Before COVID, I was doing more appearances with my band on the road and with my band in venues and not just cabarets and theaters, you know, than I was anything else. Like it was the center of my life. And so I'm excited about that, you know. That's what I'm most excited about.
What about, because I have to ask, because you mentioned your friend Sarah Jessica Parker, you know.
Please.
It basically broke the internet with this announcement that Sex and the City is coming back.
Yes!
You were in the first round of it. Have you called your good friend Sarah Jessica and said, where's my part?
No. Listen, if she wants me, she'll call me. Like, she reaches out when she needs something, you know, and like... I will wait patiently for that moment because I am so excited. I can't wait to see this. It's actually like going to be a series, which is so fun, right? It's not just going to be a movie, is it? Or is it just a movie?
No, it's a series.
It's a series, exactly,
yeah.
For HBO Max. That is going to be fun. And I just want to go back to that for one second.
Yeah.
You talk about people who just broke everything, right? Like I remember when it first started happening, Sex and the City, which was like, what, like the 90s, right?
Yeah.
And I remember people going, oh no, did she really do that? She just like buried her, she just finished herself. Like no one will ever, because she's talking about this and sex and she's a slut. And I mean, like it was unbelievable, David. Like again, I think you're a little too young to remember the kind of scandal that show caused. And I thought to myself, are these people insane? She is talking about reinventing something. She's giving us a reason, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So don't think just a little of this kind of hate goes a very long way, darling. A little hate goes a long way.
I agree with that. Listen, I think that, I mean, people needed that. Like, I remember the night, it was like a Sunday that Sex and the City dropped. Like, I've never gotten so many DMs in my life. So I just think you should make an appearance. Sarah
You're
will
right,
reach
I
out.
Should. She needs to reach out. Sarah, if you're listening, or Jessica, if you're listening to me.
But I know you don't like hate and I don't like hate either, but so let's keep it positive. Who do you think are like the best dressed male and female celebrity, like now?
You know, of course, everybody loves Harry Styles. I love Harry Styles. How do you not love that, right? Like, it's very, very good.
I'm for it.
And like, I don't really notice lots of things. I did notice what people were wearing at the inauguration, and I thought people looked really good for a minute, you know? I thought maybe J-Lo could have rethought the white, like all that white. I mean, she looked great, but she looked more like someone's bar mitzvah mother than she did. You know what I mean? It was like a little Chanel, it felt a little Republican.
Yeah.
Just a little. I mean, she looked great, but you know what I mean? The hair and the beret and the white and the boucle, and it was like a little rich lady.
You prefer like a
whereas like Gaga was right. Insane with this insane dress with this big bird. I mean, so funny and new feeling. It just felt new. Yeah.
What about like, you know, it's not negative, but like who would you want to do an Isaac makeover on? You know, like I once asked a designer who said Cher. You know, he's like, I'm not knocking Cher. I love her. She's an icon. But he's like, I just want to soften the... So it's not even a negative thing.
I can't think of anybody that I would want to do a remake on. I'm not that kind of person. I don't know. I mean, I would love to collaborate with Billie Eilish. I said I love her. I mean, that would be an amazing thing to work with her in some way. I'm not really doing clothes that much now. So I make clothes for QVC and it's like, you know, a cute t-shirt in Pima cotton or like a cashmere sweater for like $100. You know what I mean? I'm not really doing the couture thing anymore. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You know what I would love to do, darling, David?
Yes. You can tell me anything you want.
I want to find like my look for stage. You know what I mean? Like I'm so tired of like a black suit, but here's the thing with men. It's like, yeah, I can't. It's a lot of brocade and beading, and I'm not into that on, like, you know, Liberace, we get it. I get it. But now at this stage, like, we have to start thinking about, like, other things and what are they? Because I don't want a plain, I also don't want a plain suit with, like, a shirt. I don't want that either. I mean, I always want that, but you know what I mean. Like, on stage, you got to give something more. Okay, here's a celebrity that I would like to work with. You ready?
Yes.
Billy Porter. Because he almost goes insane and it almost is so great. But then it's like, really, who's going to do that? You know, like that is only good for that one moment. And then how did you get in the taxi? What are you going to wear to dinner? You know what I mean? It's like, it's a little bit like sort of overstated, you know, that whole thing. It's overstated. Whereas like Harry Styles, you know, I don't know why it just feels more modern.
Really? That makes sense. And you know who I love too is Timothée Chalamet for the guys.
Oh, Timothée Chalamet. Like nothing wrong with Timothée Chalamet, darling. Nothing.
There's nothing wrong with him.
Nothing.
But he has great style too. Like
yes. No, he totally does.
But you want to work on like a stage like style for yourself.
Yes. You know, and I have to say, like, There's this fine line right now because I am a RuPaul Drag Race like diva aficionado.
Are you watching this season?
Excuse me.
Okay.
I am this season. Okay. By the way, I mean, I need to be a judge on that show again. I was only a judge once.
You need to go back.
I need to go back. I mean, right now it's a little difficult because of COVID. But
who's your favorite? Like, who stands out?
I mean, really. Simone. Hello.
I was going to say, are you going to say
Simone? Is like, yes. I mean, I love Got Nick and I love Simone. And is there another? I kind of love that Lux person. What's her name?
Olivia Lux.
Olivia Lux. I kind of love her too because she's bright and happy and wonderful. I think she's probably in the top three, right?
I think Simone and yes,
Simone, Olivia Lux,
and Gottmik. Yeah, I'm obsessed with Gottmik.
Me too. I'm kind of obsessed with them too.
I'm obsessed. And then I think what's the Rosé is a little overrated. Our
well,
New York
no, girl. I mean, I understand Rosé. It's like a hard-hitting kind of like drag queen, you know, approach. I mean, I get it. It's classic, you know. And I say she stays in the competition for a minute, you know.
And I like Elliot with two T's just as a, like, as a...
Just as a, like, hilarious foil. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one I have problems with is Lala Ri.
I don't
know why. Like, Lala Ri feels to me like a little rough. Like, she needs, or they need, I'm not exactly sure what her pronoun is, but they need a little raffiné, a little raffiné, darling, before they come across to America, you know? I mean, she's a dear, but she needs a little freshening
around
something. The edges. Yeah, but you know, it's like that, right? Like a drag queen. When that walks into the room, you're a drag queen. You know, Billy Porter, when that walks into a room, that's Billy Porter. I wish that, like, there could be some version of that. You know, Marc Jacobs does a great job. Like, he's getting a heel and a thing and pearls.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, Harry Styles is working it in this way, you know?
I love a man in a skirt. I have a thing. Like, I think it's, I mean...
Me too.
I love it.
There's a guy on Instagram. There's this guy on Instagram who I live for.
Really?
And I've been following him forever, and I forgot his name. And he's just this, he's like a dad. He's like somebody's dad. And he doesn't do any makeup or any drag or anything, but he'll wear like a blazer, a really good blazer, and a shirt, and like a pencil skirt just past the knee, and like a heel. And that's it. And there are like hundreds of looks like, it's like Helmut Lang is a drag queen. It's fabulous. And
wow.
I forgot his name. I'll DM you.
You have to.
I'll DM you. I live for this guy.
I have a thing like for men in skirts.
A pencil skirt, right? Or a kilt. I love a kilt.
Yeah, like a kilt, like the Marc Jacobs, like a kilt with like the big black combat boots. That to me is like...
But I like it better when it's like, when it's refined and elegant with a kilt, like a flat. I like a flat. I'm into a flat with a kilt.
With
this pencil skirt, a heel, all the way. Yes.
What about, speaking of reality TV, Project Runway All-Stars? Like, was that just so much fun to do? Or was that more like a job and you're like, I got a lot of other things, let me go home?
Both. Only because, you know, like... It's again, it's that cancel thing where it's like, you know, that's so damn ugly, you know? It's like, there's no time. It's all a soundbite. It reduces everything. You know, you have 2 hours and $10 and blah, blah. And it's like, wait a minute, what about you have $100,000 and 60 days to make one beaded dress? Go. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want to see. I'm serious. That's what I want to see. You know,
do you think shows like that work? Because, you know, listen, I mean,
yes, I don't love watching them, but I do think they work. I do.
Because I was going to say, we have Christian Siriano and we have lots of others. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. We've had them on the show. But, you know, you think of Christian.
Yes,
the whole...
of course. Yes. He's the most famous one who has graduated from that whole, like, as opposed to American Idol, who has given us so many fantastic singers, right?
Yeah.
But I will say that I think what I love about those shows is that they represent the story about the creative process, you know? And I like that. I love cooking competition shows, you know, that bake thing, the great bake thing, the British bake show.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Paul Hollywood. Oh my God. I would so take Paul Hollywood.
You could have him and I'll stay with Timothée Chalamet. Like you could have whoever you want.
You see, I have a very broad.
You do. I mean, I have I'm mildly intrigued by this dad that you're telling me about on Instagram. Like I have a pretty broad taste.
I'm sending you his.
Yes,
I will.
What about, how is it working with Alyssa Milano? And then we'll wrap up. I promise. I know you're.
Okay. Well, you know, I love her. She's like, I feel like she's a sister or something. And the thing I admire about her the most is that she really doesn't give a shit, honey. She goes hard into politics, you know?
She does.
And I feel like, you know, it's almost like she's transitioning into something. Like she might become a politician. She might just leave it all. I swear to God. And I would vote for her. I would vote for Melissa.
Really?
Yeah. Melissa. I always do that, but it's a joke because I call her Melissa when I see her. Like, hey, Melissa. Alyssa Milano. Melissa Alano. Of course, that's what you're... the joke. But
I could see that, though, because she doesn't
me
care.
Too.
She goes hard. Like, no, she goes
he
hard.
She doesn't care, honey. And the thing is, like, you know, she goes hard about everything. Like, she'll post something about her child. You know, it doesn't matter. She has no secrets, this girl. And I guess when you grow up in the business the way she did, right, you either go insane or you go really smart. And she's just completely smart. She's really smart. And she is really caring and really lovely. I mean that. Working with her for so many years, you know.
I was going to say that. It's probably getting in the business early and just going into something else. Last two questions, I promise. You've been on Watch What Happens. What about Hoosier? These are literally the last two questions. And don't tell your PR. I'm sorry I kept you for two extra seconds.
That's okay. That's all right. That's all right.
Who's the best dressed housewife, just off the top of your head? Because I know you know them all and are friends
with them. You know, I got to say that I think like the best dressed housewife is Sutton Strack. Because, you know, she has like an attitude about dressing that isn't drag. It's actually like a really expensive, really good dress that she kind of just throws on with some hair and makeup. It's not like a squad. And I'm sure she has a squad. You know what I mean? It's not as much costume as Erika Jayne, who I love. But you know, Erika Jayne, it's like that Billy Porter thing. It's like, what would you have done if there weren't seven people in the room with you getting you ready? Like, I want to see that. Like, that's the vulnerable thing that I miss, you know? Whereas with Sutton Strack, it's just, it's totally vulnerable. Like, she's just zipping something up in the back and, you know, you see the face is there, you know? I
and
mean
she's,
that.
And she's
that's crazy, but I really like her. I really like
I get
Sutton.
It.
And every time they come for her, I always want to say like, hey, Sutton, just say, like, it's so simple. If you just say like, well, you asked or something, you know what I mean? There's always like a really simple reason if she's being a bitch, you know?
Totally. And final question, and we'll wrap it up because I know you have to go. We're all in sweats now. What do you predict, like, when the world opens up? Like, do you predict it's going to be like, I mean, I've heard fashion designers say like, oh, they think it's going to be the roaring 20s. We're going to dress up like nobody's business to go across the street. Like, what do you think is going to happen with style?
I think I've been saying this for 40 years, darling. I don't think it's good. I think it's going to be polls. You know, like there's always going to be people who are totally, and it's going to get worse and bigger and better and fabulous. And there's going to be people who are just going to literally roll out of bed in their pajamas and show up. You know, I mean, that's my prediction. Yeah.
I love it. So everyone, first of all, DM me that guy. I will DM you. Where everyone needs to tune in on Friday the 12th. They need to watch
that's
this with Leah Delaria. It's for 30 days streaming on Broadway World. I will be watching it. You're amazing live. And where can people find you online?
I am Isaac Mizrahi on Instagram.
That's
easiest. Isaac Mizrahi. Yes, that's where you should go. Just do
that's
that.
Easiest.
And find everything that way.
And for everyone who hasn't seen this, really, you do it all. You sing, you dance, you give away, you re-gift things. I mean, that's a whole nother conversation that we'll get into. Yes.
Well, I adore you, David Yontov. I mean it.
I'm a nice Jewish boy, Isaac.
That's right. With some good, cute teeth. You have good teeth.
Oh, God. I need to get my teeth white and they're like yellow. But thank you for that. We will keep in touch for real. You're amazing.
All right,
I live
seriously.
Like down the street.
Me too.
For real. And thank you. I'm sorry I kept you a little bit over.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I have something at 2, but I have to get ready.
All right. Mwah. You're the best. Thank Love you dearly.
Right.
Okay.
You too. All right, darling.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.